In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, it's time to get ready and wait. That seems what it's like when you go to the airport. You rush to the ticket counter, and then you rush to the security line, and then you rush to the gate, and then you wait to board. And in our gospel lesson today, there are two groups of virgins, and they are both waiting. Some of them are ready, and some of them are not. The parable takes a little explanation. You see, weddings at the time of Jesus did not have this long engagement time and then a big wedding and a celebration like we have today. Instead, a Jewish groom would be betrothed to a young woman, and that would be the legal time of marriage. But time would elapse until the groom would go off and prepare a home, and his bride waited for her groom to come and get her and to take her away, and then they would consummate the marriage. But here's the thing. This was done with a great celebration and a procession accompanied by family and friends, so that these 10 virgins, we might say, are young girls who are likely friends and family of the bride. And so what they are doing is waiting for the marriage feast to inaugurate. There would be a procession from the place where marriage was consummated to the place where the wedding feast would begin. So this would begin the wedding feast. They brought with them these lamps, which maybe was like a torch. And this was all part of the celebration. The torches lit the way for the procession, and then these lights, these lamps, were used as part of the wedding feast itself. So if you were part of the family, or maybe friends of the family, you would have this lamp. I suppose that's maybe something like, in our day, you would be part of the wedding party. And if you're in the wedding party, you would probably make sure that you had the proper dress, so that the bridesmaids would have the dress that was set aside for that occasion. And you wouldn't show up to the wedding without the proper dress. Otherwise, it looks like you're not part of the wedding party. It looks like you're not even part of the family or maybe one of the friends. So Jesus says that there are two kinds of young girls getting ready for this procession. The parable is oftentimes called the parable of the wise and foolish maidens. Or as I heard one pastor put it, the sensible and silly girls. Now the Greek word for wise is clear enough, it means sensible. But the Greek word for foolish is moros, which is where we get the English word for moron. And that's fitting, because five of these young ladies have their lamps, but what they don't take with them is the flask of oil. Now, anyone who would be part of the procession should be taking this flask of oil. That is a given. If you were hearing Jesus tell the story in the day, that moment would shock you. Why didn't they take oil? It'd be like trying to mow the grass without a mower, or going fishing without a pole, or like trying to bake without an oven. If you're in the procession, that you're going to the friend's wedding feast, you must have oil for your lamp. But these moronic young ladies do not. But that's maybe not the part that's even the most shocking of this parable. Because the next part is that the wise and foolish maidens alike are waiting for that groom to show up, and they start to get drowsy, and they both fall asleep. Now, I can understand why the wise maidens would fall asleep, because they have their oil, they're ready to go, they can light their lamps, and they're in the procession. But why do the foolish maidens fall asleep? The foolish maidens are in this false sense of security that they think that they're ready to go when actually they're not. And what happens when the groom shows up? They're there waiting and they think, oh, quick, we need to buy some oil. We need to go and get some oil somewhere. And so they have this kind of false sense of security that they think it's okay to fall asleep as they wait for the groom. Now, it's not difficult to see what Jesus is driving at here. The Lord has promised that he will return. And as we confess, that he will return to judge the living and the dead. Because of Adam's sin, we are all born into sin, and we are enemies of God. We are born into sin, and we have rebellion against God. Born into sin in our trespasses, and the only thing keeping Christ from returning right now is his own love for humanity. You know, we would have it that Jesus would return today to get this toil over with, and then we can go straight to heaven. And the reason Jesus doesn't come right now is that he's waiting that more might repent. The longer he waits, the more time he delays, the more people who are baptized, who hear the gospel, who come to saving faith in Christ. And oh, how many people think they have plenty of time to repent. They actually know of their sin, perhaps, but they think there's plenty of time to repent. It was actually somewhat common in the 4th and 5th centuries for people to wait to be baptized until they were on their deathbeds. They started to think that if they were baptized and then they sinned, their sin would undo their baptism. So they waited to the very last moment to be baptized. Now, that sounds moronic, but how many people today do the same thing with repentance? They think if they repent today, then their lives would be robbed of all the fun they could have had otherwise. The warning from Jesus is clear that you don't know the day of his return. You don't know when your life may be over. And that's a gamble you don't want to take. Now is the time. Now is the time to repent, for what if he comes today? And those are the last words of Jesus from our gospel reading this morning. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. If the Lord returns, you could be caught off guard and you won't be ready. Now, all this is certainly a valid and true concern. It's what Jesus warns us about, and it's what the Bible says. But I might point out to you that this parable is slightly different. You see, it's not that the foolish maidens were thinking, we don't have enough oil for our lamps, but we'll get some right before the groom arrives. It's not as if they were planning on the groom coming at midnight and they would go buy oil at 11:30. But instead, the opposite of that, that they expected the groom to come sooner, but he's delayed. They were thinking they were ready and they fall asleep securely because they think they're ready. But the foolish maidens wake up and realize they're not ready. And this is the warning for us, dear saints. How do you know if you're one of the foolish maidens or one of the wise maidens? The foolish maidens didn't realize how foolish they were until they woke up and realized they don't have enough oil for the wedding feast. After the door for the wedding feast was closed, they knock and they say, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And the groom answers, "I do not know you." So the question is before us. How can we be certain we will be among those who are truly resting securely, or to those who are in a false sense of security, thinking that we're ready when we're really not? And you can just ask that question to yourself. How can I be sure upon the Lord's return that I won't be one that is shut out and the Lord says, "I never knew you"? Well, if the answer to that question is because of anything that you've done, don't fall asleep. You're not yet ready to wait. You see, the reality is that we can't prepare ourselves. The Lord is coming, And we can't be because of our works that we get ourselves ready for the Lord's return. I can't say it's because I've been a member of the church for my whole life, or because I've given 20% to the offering plate or to charities, or because I turned my life around, I'm not the drunk that I used to be. Now, all of those things are good things. I'm glad you're not a drunk that you used to be. The church membership and the money you donate are all good things. However, they in and of themselves do not ready you for the Lord's return. So what does? You do not ready yourself. Instead, the Lord makes you ready. Romans 5 says, "For if while we were yet sinners, we were reconciled to God through his death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." You see, it's not our life that saves us, it's his. It's not about what you do, but it's about what he did. That Jesus knows your every thought. He knows your every sinful desire. He knows everything that you've done, and he knows even the things that you didn't do that you should have done. He knows all of that, and he knows that your sin would separate you from him. But Jesus said, "I will not let those sins damn you." He said, "Let those sins damn me instead." That Jesus says, "I'll take the punishment. I'll take the wrath. I'll take the pain and the suffering. I'll do whatever it takes," Jesus says, "to have you back with me." And it's by the grace of God and nothing else that you believe this is true. Because if you believe this is true, it means you have been given the gift of faith. You've been given the gift of faith by his word, for faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. You receive the gift of faith in holy baptism, where he washed all of your sins away and made you clean in his righteousness. And not just the sins of the past, but also the sins yet to come. It's through this word of God attached to water that you've been given the gift of faith as a gift. It's by grace that you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, Ephesians 2. The wise maidens are those who are waiting, and they're waiting because they know they're ready. They can rest while they wait for the groom's return because they are fully prepared. Being prepared has nothing to do with what you have done. Trusting in what you have done is a false security. You are prepared if Christ has died for you and you believe that your sins are forgiven. You are prepared if the Lord has baptized you and you believe his word in 1 Peter 2, baptism now saves you. You are prepared if you're a sinner because it's for sinners that Christ has died, and it's for sinners that Christ forgives. And so you are well prepared and ready to wait. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for the offertory on page 192.